Thank you very much, Helen. And now it's time for our question of the week with Diana O'Carroll.
This week, what counts as technologically advanced?
Hello, naked people. My name is Levi, and I'm calling from Israel. Recently, I came back from a trip in South America. My question is, why is it that in the time of the discovery of the Americas by Europe, Europe had the Renaissance, Leonardo, guns, steel, and so on, while the Americas were stuck in a sort of Bronze Age? Was the reason geographical, nutritional, religious, what? Love you all. Thank you. Bye.
Guns were certainly something the old world had that the new world didn't, but why?
My name is Jeff Oliver. I'm a lecturer in archaeology at the University of Aberdeen. First, I think it's important to say that the popular perception would have it that the Americas were a backwater to the sort of technological prowess of Europe. But I think this is actually very simplistic and perhaps an unfair stereotype. Speaking very broadly, part of this has to do with the development of very complex cultural, economic, and political formations, which partly hinge on the development of agriculture. And in fact, in parts of the Americas and Europe, we in fact see very similar kinds of development. Now, in terms of things like guns and armor, things like that, which perhaps allowed the Europeans an advantage early on, the difference here comes down to a number of factors that separate Europe from America. And that is that Europeans were exposed to gunpowder invented in China and effectively was improved upon through the development of science. But I think, once again, it's very simplistic to say that the Americas are not as technologically sophisticated in other terms.
So sometimes you just have the sort of events that lead to you discovering how to make iron or how to make guns. And these can change your entire technological development. But if agriculture is indirectly an important step in the development of technologies, why might the old world have developed agriculture before the new world?
It is interesting. For instance, yes, we see earlier forms of agriculture in the Middle East. We see it much later in North America. This has got nothing to do with sort of a unilineal notion of progress whereby all societies should follow on this sort of similar ladder of progress. It comes down to very specific historical situations. Probably in the Americas, it has something to do with fewer people. We see less of a need for the development of agriculture earlier on in the Americas because we have less of a population than in places like Europe. So it's almost certainly coming down to a situation like that.
It may have been a lack of population pressure that meant agriculture came to the Americas much later. The founding population of humans there is thought to have been very small indeed, at about 15,000 years ago. But there could have been a whole load of other factors, like geography and climate. But we can't really say that the old world was more advanced than the new when some societies there could still forge some rather impressive things out of gold or weave very fine textiles. We had a few emails this week mentioning the guns, germs and steel advantage of European conquistadors. Andrea Gratius said that trying to get the trajectory of New World societies to fit that of Old World ones doesn't really work. But if you ask the question the other way around, why were the European invaders not so advanced, you'd be asking about the differences in morals and values. But now here's something that not all societies take part in.
Hello, naked scientists. This is Nelson from Cambridge. And my question is there any biological benefit to kissing amongst humans? Thank you.
What's the point of kissing? Why not rub noses? Let us know what you think by emailing chris@thenakedscientists.com or writing on the forum, and that's at thenakedscientists.com/forum.
That was Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week. You can find all of her previous questions on the website at thenakedscientists.com, or you can find them in their own special podcast. Find that on iTunes. But that's all we have for this week. Next week, we're looking at nuclear power. We'll explore the problems with safely storing nuclear waste, and we'll look at the hybrid reactor designs that could use that waste as an extra fuel. Get any questions you have into chris@thenakedscientists.com. Tweet @nakedscientists, post a question on our Facebook page, or you can join in the discussion on our forum. If you want to catch up with anything we've done, see our experiments, or follow up on any of the news stories we've covered, just join us online at thenakedscientists.com. Many thanks to John J. Nicky, Martin Austwick, Alex Knight and Claire Bryant for joining us this week, and to our production team, Mira Senthilingam, Diana O'Carroll, Sarah Custer-Perry and Tom Simpkins. It's coming up to 10 years of The Naked Scientists, and we're running a survey to find out exactly who's listening and how you think we could improve our shows. As an added incentive, we're also offering Amazon vouchers worth £10 to 10 lucky respondents who answer by the 10th of the 10th, 2010. You can find the survey at thenakedscientists.com/survey. The Naked Scientist was produced by Chris Smith and presented by Helen Scales and me, Ben Valsler. It was produced in association with The Open University. To discover a whole range of science content, including lots of interactive features, log on to thenakedscientists.com and follow the links to The Open University.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.